My name is Emma, and I'm here today to chat to us about Love Lagan Valley at Christmas. So I am continuing with the Christmas chat. I am just also very aware that it is the 27th of October and we're not even into half term yet and we're talking about Christmas. But as Andy said, I'll say it and it'll be nicer, that sometimes it's just helpful to be organised so that we can get everything done that we need done, because actually for Love Lagan Valley, we do all of our collecting for Christmas on the 24th of November. So we have a video that I'm going to play for you in a wee second, but basically what we want to do this year is we want to give you all the practical elements first and just give you an overview of our vision of why we do what we do and how you can get involved. And then you all have a little card on your seat. You can take these with you. You can take them and give them to a friend if you know someone else who might like to get involved. But you can choose to give in one of the following three ways: through an adult gift pack, a family gift pack, or to donate some money. And you can snip off your shopping list and bring that with you. So there's a QR code there, brings you to the website, and all the information should be there. So I am going to let you watch our lovely video to give you all the information.
Love Lagan Valley at Christmas is here, and this is our time to come together and to focus generously and outwardly in our local community.
Every year, we partner with a number of different charities who are working alongside people in the Lagan Valley area who happen to find themselves in really difficult life situations right now.
By partnering with these charities, we are giving them much needed support as they find themselves dealing with an increasing need in our city alongside a decreasing budget.
We would love you to get involved in our project in one of the following three ways. One, buy an adult gift pack that includes a towel, a t-shirt, joggers, socks, toiletry items, a mug, and a sweet treat.
Two, buy a family pack that includes a mindfulness item such as a colouring book and pencils, a storybook to read together as a family, a game to help the family bond, juice, sweet treat, and bubbles and balloons that help kids talk through play.
And the third way you can give is a monetary donation. This will go towards the funding of additional packs and help us reach even more people in our community.
We want to be a people that are continually contending for the kingdom to come in our city. And we do this by partnering with the Father in prayer and practical action. None of what we do through our packs makes any sense without the love and power of God.
So please be praying over every person and charity involved and join in with us as we express the love of Jesus to our local community.
We say all the time that we're never more like God than when being generous, and Christmas time is all about giving, not receiving. And so if you're able to, we would love for you to give two gifts this Christmas.
Remember to sign up for PACS online to help us anticipate the number we have to distribute between our charities. These will be collected at the end of both services on the 24th of November and distributed to our charities that week.
Thank you so much for continually showing up as a people of generosity, valuing individuals and working together in our dream of being a valley alive with the power and the presence of Jesus.
Super fun to watch yourself on video. But yes, you can chat to anybody that you've just seen on screen about the ins and outs of our project or any of our staff team, and we'd really love to chat with you about it and find ways for everybody to get involved. But today I just felt like if we do the practical first, then we can focus on the why behind why we do the packs. And I think as I've been asking Jesus what he wants to talk to us about today, I keep getting hit with the value of people. And I think I was reminded that like none of what we do and none of our giving and all of our organization that goes into this project, that none of it really makes sense if we don't partner in with what Jesus is doing in our community, and also if we don't value and care for the people behind the packs. We talk all the time about how we are made for community and that we thrive in community. And for us, this project is our collective expression as a community together, as a church, of our love and compassion for our city. And we want to invite people into our community as well through this. So we just don't want it to be a tick box exercise that we do our good thing or good bit at Christmas time, but that we actually think of the real reason and the call of compassion in our own lives for us to be people of mercy and compassion. So just before we get stuck in, I will pray for us. I just pray, Holy Spirit, come. And Father, we thank you for your presence in this place today, and we just pray that you will come and speak to us individually and collectively as a church about our mission to show compassion and love to others around us, radical generosity. God, and we just pray now that you come and you're with us and you speak to us individually of how that looks like, how that looks in our lives. Amen. So when we talk about compassion, sometimes I think we automatically go to stories about how Jesus showed love, and he showed radical love and inclusion to so many people. And there are so many stories that you could choose. There's so many passages that you could choose to work from this compassion topic today. But I started studying with WTC a couple of years ago, and we had an Old Testament class, and we started off the class of, like, who loves the Old Testament, and who's scared of the Old Testament, and who maybe thinks God of the Old Testament's not that kind. And I slowly started to figure out that people thought that as well as me. Sometimes you read things about God and people will say, oh, God in the Old Testament, he's not that kind, he's not that loving, but Jesus came and he is the loving God. And then there's a specific verse I want to start with from the New Testament. And sometimes, because I was thinking about how it's easier to sit there, but in Galatians 3:28, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we learn that we are made equal in Christ. But if we think all those other things, does that mean that the God in the Old Testament's just not a very kind God, and that Jesus is the one that's loving? The very simple answer to that is no, and that's what we're going to kind of look at. So in Genesis 1, we learn that humanity is made in the image and the likeness of God, that we are all made equal in his sight. And if we look at equality, and if we look throughout our lives of cultural hierarchies that give people value in society, they were not present in God's design for us. We have the fall that comes in Genesis 3. And it's the fall of humanity through sin, and our relationship with God is broken. But also our relationship with each other is broken, and our relationship with the natural world is broken. And all three of those are so important. But today we are going to look at our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And in Genesis 3, we see how Adam puts the blame on Eve, and it just indicates this breakdown of relationship. And from here, humanity just continues to get a lot of things wrong in all of the ways. And throughout cultures and time frames throughout our lives, we've continued to find ways to create hierarchies that value some people but devalue others. And it just goes against who God made us to be. So to prepare, I googled how are people valued in society, and AI gave me an overview, so I'm going to read it to you. People are valued in society in many ways, including education. People who are highly educated are generally valued more. Employment. People who are employed, especially in better jobs, whatever they may be, are generally valued more. Contribution to community. People who make meaningful contributions to their community are valued. Diversity. While society has become more accepting of diversity in recent years, there is still much room for improvement. Minority groups. People from minority groups, such as those with mental illnesses, disabilities, or from different backgrounds, are often stigmatized and valued less. So I think we can all listen to that list and agree that we have kind of seen or heard that play out in our lives around us. And I've been thinking about this a lot. And then I was in London a couple of weeks ago, and I arrived late and was walking from the station trying to find my hotel and trying to find somewhere to buy a bottle of water. And a man stopped me and asked me if I could buy him some food. So I was like, yes, right, there's somewhere I can buy my bottle of water, I can buy food, I do it all in there. So I went in and I did exactly that. And then I went back to my hotel and had a great night's sleep in that hotel bed. It was wonderful. But I was just so aware in that moment that whenever I went into this little small space, and that man stood at the court of the door poking his head in having a conversation, that the people around me were so uncomfortable. And the man serving me was visibly angry. And it made me uncomfortable because I think he was also a wee bit angry at me. And I think because I've just been so conscious, it was just a moment for me to stop and realize the reality of what we live in and the reality of the views that we hold as a society. And then I was thinking, earlier this year, we took a group from Salt Factory Sports to the Simon community, and they did a presentation for us, and then one of their residents was in who came to chat with us, and he just shared his story of how he came into homelessness. And I just think, like, I think it's just really important to say, like, if anyone is telling you their story, regardless of what life looks like and regardless of what their story is, it's just such a privilege to hear that. So for me, it was just such a privilege that he came and shared with us that day. And then we went on this tour and showed us around the building. And we went outside and he told the group about how a group from LVV came in a couple of years ago and we had a barbecue, and then there was raised beds. There was a lot of planting going on, and we kind of sorted out the garden, which allowed the residents then to continue working because it kind of took away all the chaos and allowed for a bit more peace in the gardening. And as he was talking about that, you could just see how much it meant to him. And then I said, okay, yeah, that's our Love Lagan Valley that happens in May. Can I tell you all about our Love Lagan Valley that happens at Christmas? So I explained that our Simon community bags come in a big green duffel bag with all of our items so that the residents who come in get a bag when they arrive and they can add their items into it as well. And I think he clocked that, oh, I got that bag when I arrived in and I didn't know that that was from your church. So I started explaining the details of the pack and said that our t-shirt and joggers, we used to do pajamas, but we do those so that people have extra clothing that they can go out. And apparently he said it was hilarious because they all on Christmas Day were wearing all the exact same clothes, and it was quite funny. So I continued to explain the other elements of the pack, and he was nodding along. My impression of that was that was really good. That's exactly what that did for me. And then I said at the end that we give everybody a mug. And the mug has tea, coffee, and hot chocolate in it. And the purpose of that is so that whenever you arrive in and you're feeling overwhelmed and you don't know where to go or what to do, you can take your mug and you can go into the kitchen and make yourself a drink, but also in the process that you hopefully meet people and have conversations. And he just got really emotional as I was talking, because I think for him, he was just thinking, this is exactly how I felt, and that is exactly what that did for me. But also, somebody took time to think about my journey and to think about what I needed and to value me. So it was just a really, really beautiful moment. And I think when you look at those two stories of two people who, for whatever reason, have found themselves in homelessness, but have just been treated so differently. One who has, I mean, I saw him for 5 minutes out of my day. I don't know how much he gets of that in his everyday life, but it was really intense and it was awful. And he was so devalued as a human being. But then we have somebody who has had people and support around him, and someone who has felt valued by people like you who go and do the things that you do. And when we do what we do in Love Lagan Valley, we do it to help people who need our help, who people like that man who arrived in and needed some of those items, but we also do it to share the love of Jesus with people, because we know when we have things in our own lives, the things that are really, really tricky, that we can't do on our own. We know that when we add Jesus and invite Jesus into those, that life is easier and that we can carry the burdens that are so difficult to carry without him. But I think that we maybe need to acknowledge as a starting point is that we're all born into a time and a culture that has its own set of rules for what society should look like. And there are rules that have been instilled in us, whether it's from what we see on TV or read magazines or as family, friends. We all have a set of unconscious bias that we have grown up with. And it causes people to feel uncomfortable in that man's presence in London. And it trips us up and gets in the way of us living how we are designed to live. And if we want to be people who want to see the kingdom come, we need to acknowledge first the position that we're in. Humanity as a whole is made in the image of God. Together, we are all made in his likeness. It's not just those with good education or the better jobs who contribute to society, or those who contribute to society in particular ways. And Stu spoke to us about, he did a two-part series on Life Together, which was in August. And it was just a really beautiful, expression of what we want to be as a church, the diversity of the church, and how a diverse church is a truer representation of God. So please listen to that, because it was honestly incredible. The reality is that while we hold the inclusion and the equal value of all people and human beings, and we have to acknowledge that we're not all afforded the same luxuries and circumstances in life. So we have equal value for everyone. All of us are valued, but our lives look different. And there are people in our community, and there's people in the Lagan Valley area who are in just really difficult life situations right now. And a portion of those people potentially fall outside of what AI says is valuable in society, and they don't feel valued themselves. And I have to be really honest, when we talk about caring for the needy or the marginalized and the other, something within me always feels tense in that, like, are we, by calling people others and marginalized, are we devaluing them? So I think I just need to caveat this whole conversation with no, we are not, but we have to see what we have, and we live in this broken world where there are people who just are not in the same situations as us, and we can't care for everybody the same, because it just doesn't make sense. We all have different needs, and if we have a blanket kind of version of love and care, there's going to be some people who thrive and some people who get left behind. So we have to acknowledge the world that we are in. And we need to be people of empathy. I've seen a lot of sympathy in my life, and I think I realized the point where it's like, oh, this sympathy is so unhelpful. Because sympathy says, oh my goodness, your life is awful. I feel really bad for you, or what I have received. I think my life's bad, but then I look at yours and I think mine's great. Which, I mean, maybe people mean things well, but there's a difference between that sympathy and empathy in saying, here's what you have, and I am so sorry, this is so tough. How can I lean into this with you? How can we do this together? Because we are to share with each other, and we are to be relational because we have a relational God. And unlike any other God, God exists in a relationship as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And if you think of Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, as being any less loving than Jesus in the New Testament, it's just really bad theology, and it's impossible. And we need to look at the Bible as a whole. We need to get out of our comfort zone of the things that make sense. And when we look at the Bible as a whole, we see a thread of covenant relationship between God and humanity. After Adam and Eve are banished from the presence of God, God has been continually trying to find a way to be with humanity. And it's a massive theme. And there's a lot in it, but I just want to kind of give us a little roadmap, some highlights. Because if we can get this, we can see just how compassionate and merciful and relational Yahweh is. So the presence of God comes in the form of a burning bush to Moses, and then it travels with the Israelites in a cloud by day and a fire by night. Then in the tabernacle, a portable tent goes with them wherever they go, and the presence is with them, but they can't come into the presence. Moses is allowed into the presence of God, but he's away so long that everyone thinks it's consumed him, and no one else has been able to get into that. So it's been with them, but they've been separated. And then finally, when we get to the temple, the presence of God lives in the Holy of Holies, which is a section of the temple that is separated by a veil. And only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies at a certain time of the year. And anyone else who tried to do that, it did not end well for them. And then Jesus came, and he provided humanity through his death with a new covenant. And it was to reestablish the position that has been destroyed by Adam. And when Jesus ascended to the Father, we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live with us here on earth, that we can come into and live in the presence of God. And it's through the blood of Christ that reconciliation with God has been made available to everyone. But more than this, the sacrifice was made to reconcile humanity with each other. And unity and reconciliation cannot be overlooked, as it is the design of the created order that God restored through the cross and the vision of what is to come, a new creation. So for us here on earth, we are to be continually moving towards reconciliation, to bringing order to creation, the order that was lost through sin. And we know in Genesis 1 that we are made in his image and that everyone matters and everyone's important. But the reality is that we live in a broken world. We're not all in the same life situations, and none of us are immune to what life throws at us. But we have to react and respond to that as a people, as a church, as his church. We have to react accordingly. And it is our calling and our purpose to increase the kingdom and continue to strive to bring order to that chaos. And I'm just going to read through a couple of verses in the Old Testament that talk about compassion. It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-hearted and freely lend them whatever they need. Learn to do what is right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed, for the Lord your God is a God of justice." There are so many verses, there's so many more verses like that in the Old Testament that talk about mercy. And we read those, we read that we are not just called to be compassionate. It's not just do good, don't do bad. It's do good, don't do bad, fight for justice. And we can't forget that third one. Just like our Father is compassionate, we are called to reflect him here on earth and stand up against what's not good. And what we are doing with Love Lagan Valley is this is our collective partnering in kingdom work. It's a practical element that is involved in our pursuit of seeing this valley come alive. When we don't do it to exalt ourselves, to make ourselves feel good, but we do it to join in with the Father, because he is continually working and he is continually doing things, and sometimes we're just not aware of it or we don't enter in. And there is beauty for us to do this in community, but we all need to hear that this is a call of compassion on our own lives, in all parts of our lives. We are supposed to ask God, what do you see in my workplace? How can I bring chaos to order to the chaos in my workplace, in my schools, in my families. We have to have an everyday posture of compassion. And I think to be able to do that, we need to know our own story. We need to know the covenant relationship between us and God, where he wants to be in relationship with us. And we aren't just to go and try our best and write all the lists of the things that we can do. But we are to partner with him and ask him, what do you see and where do you want me? And I wonder how many of us rule ourselves out because we're not the person that does the compassion things. Like, that's not my thing. I do this. Or maybe we rule ourselves out with partnering with the Father because we are unsure of our own story or our own identity. And maybe when I say that God wants to be with you in relationship, you think, yeah, but not me. But God loves you, and he really likes you. And I find that really helpful, because I could sit with the God loves me, loves everyone, he must love me too. But whenever someone tells me that God likes me, I'm like, oh, does he? He can't. How could he like me? But God loves you, and he really likes you. And we're not to feel condemned about our lack of empathy in the past or the things that we've done that we could have got done better, or the things that we got wrong, but we just need to know that today we get to join in with what he is doing to see the kingdom come in the Lagan Valley area, because it is not something that we are going to do without him. And Tim's going to come up and play something for us here. I think we need to pause as a community. We've been getting a word from trusted members of our community that's coming in different ways about how now is the time. The time is now. And I wonder how many of us feel like that doesn't include us, or we don't get to be involved in that. It's a very Vineyard saying that everybody gets to play, and actually all of us need to join in with this. It's not just for some people and not for the others. But maybe we feel like we don't measure up and we aren't worthy of partnering with the Father. And I have talked about this before, and I don't have time to talk about it now, but regardless of where you're at in life and what you hold, God wants you to partner in with him, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And sometimes we feel like we don't have anything to give. That's okay, because we actually do. And he wants to be in relationship with us. We are made in his image, and we are to be a reflection of him on earth. He gave us his spirit to live within us because he has been continually trying to find a way to coexist with us, for us to live in his power and his presence. And if you love Jesus, and if you are in him, if you have made him the boss of your life, he lives within you and he wants to partner with you. And if you have not yet committed your life to Jesus, he loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you, and he wants to partner with you. Can we all just stand, please, if you're able? So my job today is to talk to us, talk to everyone about Love Lagan Valley and how to get involved, and I really hope you get involved. And we obviously want we want you to sign up to all of those things. But I think before we go and before we ask God, where do you want us, we just need to take a moment and get our heart posture right, to remind ourselves that we are loved. And just as we receive the love of Jesus and he pours out, he lavishes us with his love, we are to go and we are to do that for others. It's like everything with, when someone comes and tells you that they've received prayer for healing and they've been healed, we say, that's great, now go pray for others. And everything that we have, everything that we hold in our hands has been given to us by the Lord. He has entrusted us to steward what we have been given. And we're not called to a little bit of generosity. We're called to radical generosity. And that costs, and inclusion costs. And I know it'll look different for everybody in here, how we choose to get involved, but I would love if we could take a minute and ask God, how do I get involved? What does that look like? Maybe we sit down with a list of our people we have to buy for Christmas and add in and take out. What, God, what do I have to sacrifice to be able to give this Christmas? So just while Tim plays, I just think it's really important for us to take a minute and ask Jesus, what are you doing and how can I get involved? Because that might be different than how you think you can get involved. And that's where we need to start. Before we receive from the Lord and go, we need to do that receiving part first. So it'd be really helpful if a couple of people wanted to come forward from tribe leaders or Compass students just for prayer. If you could do that now. And we're just going to take a few minutes and just ask God what he wants from us. And then someone's going to jump up at the end and close us off. But I'm going to pray for us now. You just pray, Holy Spirit, come. Father, I just ask in your gentleness and in your kindness, you will come and you will speak to us today, and that you will show us how we can get involved. That we are loved, that you love us, and that you really like us. And God, as we receive from you today, will we have open hearts for what you have for us. And that as we receive today, we can then go into our daily lives and share the love that you have for others. So just pray now, Holy Spirit, come.